The very first verses of the Bible in chapter 1 of Genesis tell us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Think about that. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's mere word brought forth light. Eons later, drawing on this opening passage of Genesis, St. John the Apostle tells us in the opening passage of his gospel that we read on Christmas Day, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. All things came to be through him. And then he adds, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For St. John, when he reads Genesis and sees God speaking the Word to create, John recognizes the creative Word as God the Son, acting right from the beginning with his Father. The Son, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And what is the first thing that is created by the Word, who would become Jesus? Let there be light, and there was light. And so St. John would go on to write, what came to be through him was life, and his life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The birth of the baby Jesus is the dawning of the light of God in the world. So that the grown man, Jesus, tells us about himself later on, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My friends, the world is divided into light and darkness. Not merely the light of day, but more importantly, the interior or spiritual light that allows us to see clearly things as they are and to not be afraid of the unknown. And not merely the darkness of night, but more importantly, the interior or spiritual darkness that causes us to be blind to the truth, to stumble over obstacles unseen, to be in constant fear of the unknown evil lurking in the shadows. The Word is divided into the light of Christ and the darkness of the world without Christ. And we see as Christians, we are called to live with Christ, to live in his light, to see things in the light of truth, to see the reality of his presence and grace in our lives, so that we need never fear anything or feel alone or abandoned. The light of Christ that illuminates the darkness so we can see and recognize love and goodness and beauty and forgiveness. The light of Christ that shines on even as the darkness of sin surrounds us. Like little children gathered around a campfire that keeps us warm and chases away the wild animals that would harm us. But so many all over the world live in darkness, searching for light to see in, groping around in the night, wearing blinders of sin and ignorance or empty ideologies or false religions. And so they chase after anything that sparkles, giving some imitation of light, something to ease the fear and emptiness and confusion. They scurry after and hold on tight to things like good, feel-good philosophies or false prophets that make them happy, or to wealth or fame or power or sex or drugs or alcohol. But while these things may glitter for one satisfying moment, they quickly fizzle into cold gloom. And so they go from one false light to another, sinking deeper and deeper into the darkness. But man was created to live in true light. And so he continues to search for the light. In today's gospel, we find such men searching for the light. Scripture calls them magi, or learned men, or wise men. Men from the East, not Jews, pagans, who were clearly well versed in the science of the stars. They discovered this new star that wasn't supposed to be there, so they knew what was supposed to be there. And they were also well versed in the theology of various religions, including the writings of the Jewish prophets. They knew the prophet had foretold the coming of a star in the sky that would indicate the birth of the Savior of the world. These were not foolish men or superstitious men. These were scientists. But they were also human beings searching for the light. And they used their vast knowledge to search for the light. And they found it. They saw a strange, new, beautiful light in the sky. And that small light, that new star, led them to the fullness of light. As Scripture tells us, and behold, the star that they had seen stopped over the place where the child was. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Today, billions of people continue this search. Billions of Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists, animists, agnostics, and atheists long for the true light, cling to the flickers of light that they do find, but they still don't possess. But we do possess that light. Just as the Magi found Christ in the house, as it says today, with Mary, his mother, Christ remains in the house that he built, living with his Holy Mother Mary and the rest of his family, you and I as brothers and sisters, the house that he built, his holy church on earth. And so the light of Christ continues to shine in the church and in each one of us who lives in this house of light. But sadly, all too often, even though we possess the light, we ignore the light. We prefer instead the glitter that fizzles out. We shield our eyes or even put on blinders or even run away from the light into the darkness. Why do we do that? Well, for one reason, sometimes light can be frightening, at least at first. When the light of truth shines in our lives, when we really allow it to, and we see the evil that surrounds us, but also the evil in our own lives, the things that we do, that can be very frightening when the light shines on that. We see what we have to contend with. Imagine you're in a dark room and you hear all sorts of frightening noise close by. You know, you kind of get under the covers and pull the covers over your eyes. You like the darkness. You think the darkness somehow shields you. But then suddenly a light goes on and you see a snarling wolf is staring you right in the face. You get so focused on that wolf just a few feet away that you don't notice that he's chained up and can't move. And you don't notice that he's been shot and he's bleeding to death. And you don't notice that the one who shot him is standing right by you, a great big hunter with a great big gun ready to protect you if in any way he threatens you again. And you're so focused on that snarling wolf that you don't notice your mother standing right next to you, telling you to calm down. It'll be okay. The light of truth can sometimes shed a light on scary things. And we can be afraid in that moment. But the fear fades if only we have the patience to take in the fullness of what that light shows us. The truth, the love of God, and the power of his grace. So as the angel said to the shepherds and to Mary, be not afraid. And like the Magi, do not be afraid to open your eyes and see all things in the light of Jesus Christ. And don't keep that light to yourself when billions of people all over the world are searching for it. When your neighbor next door or your children or parents or spouses or brothers and sisters long for it. As Jesus tells us elsewhere in the gospel, he says, men do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let the light of Christ that entered the world on Christmas Day and that entered your life in your baptism and that is rekindled in confession and magnified in the Eucharist, let that light shine in your life so that you can see clearly the difference between good works and bad works, between good and evil. And then avoid the bad works and do the good works so that everyone can see the light of Christ shining through the goodness in your life. And when I say good works, I don't just mean be nice. After all, right after Jesus tells the crowd to let the light shine through your good works, he then immediately launches into a sermon on the Ten Commandments. Do good, keep the commandments, love your neighbor. And it's not just through good works that you shine the light of Christ. Remember, Christ, the light, is the Word made flesh. God spoke and there was light. And so you must also speak to others about Christ, shining the light of Christ by telling them about the Word of God. My friends, as we continue in this Holy Mass and this great feast of the Epiphany, the light of Christ reveals to the eyes of faith the great mystery of Christmas and Epiphany coming into our presence. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us in a dramatic way in the real presence, His real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity on the altar. In His presence, as real as His presence before the Magi, let us follow the example of the Magi who prostrated themselves and did Him homage. And as He comes to us in Holy Communion, we pray that He will illuminate our hearts so that in His light we may see and live according to His Word, making our lives become like bright stars shining in the darkness of a cold winter night of the world, leading all those who are wise and who seek the light of truth to the babe in the manger in Bethlehem and to His dwelling among us now in His holy church. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.